I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Relations between the United States and Pakistan seem more fragile every day. Today, Pakistan complained about a new U.S. missile strike inside its territory. The missile strike was reportedly aimed at militants in Pakistan's northwest frontier province. That's an area near the border with Afghanistan, where Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters operate. Just yesterday, a top U.S. military commander met Pakistani officials and assured them that America respects their country's sovereignty. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Richard Boucher wouldn't comment on military operations in the area, but he did reiterate U.S. concerns about security in Pakistan's northwest tribal regions.
There is a real threat coming out of these areas. There's Taliban and al-Qaeda elements who are threatening Pakistan, threatening Afghanistan, shooting at NATO troops on the Afghan side, and threatening our homelands. So we understand that this is one of the more dangerous areas, the most dangerous areas in the world, I would say, and that therefore it has to be stabilized. Now, that's not a simple thing. We also understand that the solution to stabilizing this area has to be in the hands of the Pakistanis.
That's U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Richard Boucher. Correspondent Kate Clark recently traveled to the volatile region along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. She says the arms bazaars in Pakistan's northwest province are a key source of weaponry for the Taliban. Pakistan's homemade arms industry grew up in the 1980s. That was when the Soviet Union was occupying Afghanistan. At the time, the U.S., Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia supported and heavily armed the Mujahideen. Mujahideen were the fighters who battled the Soviets. Kate Clark spoke to one former Mujahideen named Shahir. He didn't want to be recorded, so his voice is spoken by an actor.
When you go to the tribal areas, you will see one or two Kalashnikov rifles hanging up outside a shop to show it is selling arms. Inside there is everything that money can buy. Grenade, launchers, guns, even missiles and mines. Most of the arms are made locally in the tribal areas. But certainly you can find Kalashnikov rifles which have been made in China, Iran, Egypt or Pakistan.
He mentioned Iran there, and one of the interesting things that came out of this investigation was that the arms that the Taliban really like are Iranian arms. The Iranian Kalashnikov is actually $200 or $300 more than a Kalashnikov made in any other country because it's well made, it's robust, and you can fit it with an adaption for firing grenades. So it's particularly deadly. And there's also this type of mine, which the Taliban commander said has really helped them in their fight against the American military. And this is the Taliban commander I spoke to. He agreed to speak to me so long as we didn't reveal his identity or broadcast his real voice. So his voice is disguised.
There is a kind of mine called Dragon. Iran is sending it. We have got it. It's directional, it destroys, and it's called Dragon.
Has it made a big difference to how well you can fight the Americans?
Yes, it's very effective. If it's blunted or it explodes at the right time in direction, it inflicts heavy casualties. For example, if you lay an ordinary mine, it will only cause minor damage to Humvees or one of the big tanks. But if you lay a Dragon, it will destroy it completely. Dragon mines are not widely available, only to some special groups, but more are on their way, God willing.
Do you need good relations with the Iranians to get those mines?
That's obvious. Without good relations, you can't get anything.
Both the commander and Shahir, the former Mujahideen fighter, said that some Iranian weaponry is coming from the Iranian state. Now, this did not seem to be a top-down policy of the Iranian state wanting to arm the Taliban, but more a case of elements within the Iranian state who see a benefit in helping the Taliban. And you can see that the Iranian state has different... there are different policies towards Afghanistan. There's certainly support for the Karzai government, but there seems to be some groups within the Iranian state who've got good relations with some Taliban groups. This is extremely strange because Iran, of course, is a Shia state, and the Taliban are militant Sunnis, militant Sunni extremists. So it's not a natural alliance. And when the Taliban were in government, there was a real animosity between them and the Iranians. The Americans and the British have complained about this in the past, but I think this is the first time we've had someone on the Taliban side actually confirming this relationship.
One more thing. You spoke with one middle-ranking arms dealer. Basically, his bottom line to you was that money is not the major arm dealer's only reason, only motivation for arming the Taliban.
This is one of the most interesting parts of the investigation. The Taliban commander and other sources made this extraordinary statement that some of the weapons were coming down from northern Afghanistan, which is the heartland of the forces that once fought the Taliban, the Northern Alliance. And moreover, they said that the big arms dealers were big Northern Alliance commanders. A lot of those commanders who had got very powerful since 2001 are accused of war crimes from either post-2001 or pre-2001. And his feeling, and this was corroborated again by several other people, was that it's actually in their interest to have instability, not just because it makes a good market for arms, but also because people can't demand justice. If there's not a strong government, people can't demand justice for past wrongdoings.
That's correspondent Kate Clark describing her recent trip to Afghanistan, where she found new evidence of Iranian support in arming Taliban militants.